This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Hello, hello. This is the Out of Bounds podcast. My name's Adam Jabber and I'm your host. And we're back for 2021. 2020 is done and dead. And we killed it. It's gone. 2021 is here. So that being said, we've got a bunch of new things coming. We got more stuff coming to the site. We got more contents coming to the internet. And most importantly, we have more podcasts. So at least two a week is my commitment, to you people. I don't know about Ethan. Ethan's probably going to stab me pretty soon. But the point is, two a week coming from me, maybe one a week coming from Adam Sourine, who is the guest host, for at least a series of episodes. You may know him on the internet as Mr. Adam X. He's a really fun guy. He's a friend of mine, and he does that telemarketing stuff that some of you people like. And he's a great storyteller, and I think just a great guy to host the show. It'll be a little different. We're still figuring out what exactly to call his episodes and who he's going to have on and what the format's going to be like. But it sounds like at the moment it'll be either Wednesdays or Fridays. His episodes will come out, and yeah, that's the whole plan. That's what we got. This episode in particular is with Delilah Cup. If you're wondering what her first full name is, that how you say that? Delilah is a skier, a biker. She does all kinds of shit. She was a ski racer. I feel like I've said was a ski racer more than I've said is a ski racer on this show to this point. And I think that's a common theme. We talk about that. We talk about skiing currently, where she's at, and a whole bunch of other stuff, like a whole bunch of other topics. And we took some questions and yeah, I mean, this is a great episode. I really enjoyed talking to her. She's a ton of fun. And if you follow her on Instagram, you already know that. So you know what to expect from this episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Before we jump into the episode, I wanted to say a quick thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Cannon Mountain. Cannon Mountain is back for 2021, and yeah, they're open. They've got snow. A couple inches fell today. They are doing lift tickets for advance purchase. If you are an Indy Pass holder, you already get 2 days at Cannon Mountain this year, whether you realize it or not. So go skiing at Cannon. Shoot me a text. We'll go skiing. I'll make my way up that way. Hopefully more and more as the season progresses here. but I mean, as far as New England skiing goes, like New England resort skiing, this is my place. I like this place. It is my go-to. Like if I have to pick a resort to go to for the day to have fun and just like ski resort laps, this is the spot. And I think a lot of people will tell you the same thing. So I highly encourage you to go check it out if you haven't yet. And yeah, like, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't. At this point, it's like everybody's looking for a new home hill. They're looking for a place that they can feel comfortable going. Cannon also has their COVID policies dialed. Everybody's supposed to wear a mask. You're buying tickets in advance. They're distancing. It's minimal lodge use. I mean, all the things you're seeing basically all of your favorite resorts doing, Cannon is employing. And the terrain is awesome. So be sure to check out Cannon. Follow them on social media. Do the whole thing you do. You know, like, you know what you do, like when somebody's like, oh, go follow this thing and do this thing and do this thing. I don't know, you know, how people actually do with this aspect of it. Like, I don't know if they're like, they're like you're listening to this in your car right now. And as soon as you pull over, you're like, I got to follow Cannon. I got to go buy lift tickets. Like, it'd be cool if it worked like that, but I don't even really think it does. But the point is, go skiing at Cannon. And if you want to ski with me, we'll go skiing at Cannon. All right. without further ado, again, like I still like no matter what year it is, I'm still gonna have the without further ado thing stuck in my head. There is a little more ado. Be sure to follow us on social media. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes if you get the opportunity. 5 stars helps other people find the show, and I would love to keep growing this thing as much as we can. And yeah, welcome to 2021. Here is episode number 135 with Delilah Cupp. Del, tell people who you are and what you do, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so this is it. We're on right now.
We are officially recording. Previous 10 of AirPods does not exist.
Gotcha. Wait, okay, I have one more question for you that's actually really important.
Okay.
Do you know my real name?
No, what's your real name?
Yes. Oh, that's such good news. I don't know if I want to share it. I guess I'll share it.
Your thing is fucking Del Cuppers or D Cuppers on, it's like what, I like looked and I searched and I like even went, dude, I actually went hard, like looking for your real first and last name because I was like, okay, let me go to like her, like, brands that she works with. Like I almost emailed fucking Taylor and I was like, yo, what's her name? Like then I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like I'm not gonna do that. We'll just fucking deal with it.
No, that's great news. That means that I have achieved my goal of maintaining internet obscurity from my current and future employers.
That's actually really funny. But yeah, all right, fine. So if you don't want to say it, we are recording. We can run with this part.
No, I'll say it. Okay. Because it helps explain the decuppers, because I do get a lot of questions like, that's kind of inappropriate. It makes me uncomfortable.
Decuppers says that? Wait, decuppers makes people uncomfortable?
People jump to a lot of conclusions, but it does, it makes a little bit of sense because I do, like, I get a lot of Explore lingerie ads, you know?
Oh, got it.
See where they're coming from.
Yeah.
But my name is Delilah Cupp, so that's D Cup.
Okay.
My last name is Cup, C-U-P-P. My brother had already taken the handle Cody Cupcake, so I had to come up with something a little more original. Not that D Cuppers is necessarily original, but hence the name D Cuppers, Delilah Cupp. But don't search me on Google because you will find a lot of really embarrassing Seattle Marathon photos from like 10 years ago where I bleached my hair one time and it was growing out for like 5 years. It was hideous. And that is how I ran the Seattle Marathon.
With bleached hair.
Like half bleached hair.
Oh,
way after ombre was cool. It was not a cool ombre.
Very, very fun. If I was guessing, it would have been Delilah Cooper was my guess, but like it was not, it's not that. I was wrong. So it is what it is. And I thought about DMing you ahead of time and being like, okay, what's your, but then I was like, all right, over a DM that could be seen as like mildly insulting if you've said it somewhere and I just like am an idiot who doesn't do research, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't know how easy it would be to really figure it out.
It was not easy. Like I did try.
I'm new on the internet world, you know? I haven't really connected the Cuppers to my real name anywhere. I've really tried to obscure that so that when you like find my professional profiles on employee pages of LinkedIn, it is just nowhere near my Instagram, which could be damaging evidence, you know, of what I really do during the workday. I shouldn't say that either. Shoot.
What you really do. Well, I mean, you shouldn't say what you really do in the workday. We don't need to talk about that part because I don't think that's why people are listening.
I don't drink mimosas all day.
You don't?
I mean, only like 3 days a week.
Yeah.
When I'm in a good mood.
I feel like that's not that much higher than like the national average.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fine. You don't have a problem. What do you do? Like if people like on social media, right? You said you're new in the social media world. What does that mean? Like, because you started showing up in my feeds like a lot this summer. And at the end of the season, last season, like, why do you think that is? And why? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah. Well, now is actually a really interesting time for me to think about that question. Not that I've really come up with a comprehensive answer, but I guess, first and foremost, I do not consider myself to be necessarily an athlete. I was previously, a professional person who did some skiing and bike media things on the side and really put my career person first. But I quit my job 2 weeks ago. So now I am a full-time internet person, I guess. That's not true. But I have skied like 14 days in a row, which is my new top record.
14 days in a row is the new...
That's not true either.
I'm so confused.
I'm starting to come up with so many lies. So I skied 13 days in a row. Yesterday was my last day. And then I woke up today and I was like, oh, I have to ski today so that I can say I skied 14 days in a row every single day since I quit my job on the podcast. Then I was like, I'm not a challenge person. I don't really feel like skiing today. I've never been able to complete like a squat challenge or a plank challenge. So why would I take this upon myself? So I did ski today and I did go for a walk like in the snow, like in Sorel boots. And I realized that I think I hate walking in the snow as much as I hate walking uphill on skis in the snow, which is a lot. I hate both of them.
You seem
to... So I guess to answer the question of what I do not walk in a way that I enjoy.
Is there a way to change that? Like, you do it a lot for somebody who doesn't enjoy it.
Yeah, man, I sure do. I don't know. I still can't figure out if I like actually secretly like backcountry skiing.
I think you do.
I really, truly hate it.
I think you do. I really think you do.
I do it too much to hate it as much as I think.
Yeah,
I do.
Because like, but people that actually hate shit don't like, even crazy people do shit that they hate and they like secretly love that it gives them a feeling of hate. I think like, I think you like it.
Yeah, no, I love to be angry.
That's not what I meant, but okay.
Right now, I love hating myself. But I guess the reason that I'm so like against walking uphill and calling myself an athlete in any really hard physical effort that I put upon myself is because I grew up ski racing, and I spent my first, you know, 15 years or whatever thinking that all I ever wanted to do was make the OSK team and race World Cups. And I was so sure that I was gonna make it. And that was my whole thing. And I was like traveling for racing since I was 12 years old. And I was on that, what was it called? The USSA or US Ski Team Academy team when it first came out in, I don't know, 2012, 2013 or so. And so I was like living in Park City, training at the Center of Excellence, putting all of my energy toward becoming a World Cup ski racer someday. And then that ended very abruptly. And I kind of went into this like crazy downward spiral for years and came out of it and tried running marathons and bike racing and cross country bike racing and then downhill bike racing and like trying really hard at all these sports things. And then I finally realized that like I don't have to race and try hard at things to enjoy doing those things. So now I've taken it upon myself to really not try too hard at any one thing in particular, which I guess is the whole not an athlete messaging that I put across.
So I guess we'll back up a little bit. What caused you to stop ski racing?
Oh, that's a fun question.
You brought it up, all right? Like, I didn't. It's not like
I've bunch of research.
I've
always known that I would have to deal with this someday. But so I was on that. I'm not sure if it was called the USSA Team Academy or the US Ski Team Academy, but some sort of like US Ski Team pre-D Team Academy development team for young kids. I was maybe 15, 16 at the time. And everything was going great, honestly. I was training well, I was racing well, I was, you know, performing well and feeling like I was right on track. But I was also living in a homestay situation with a very popular girl in Park City, and I was a high school girl, and I was having a lot of fun outside of training and racing and going to school. And I got away with it for a long time. And it finally caught up with me when the director of the whole US ski team at the time called me into his office and essentially like cut me from the team, fired me, whatever. And I was super upset, obviously, and asked for like specifics of what's going on. What exactly did I do wrong? More like, what did you catch me at doing wrong? And I never really got a great answer, which I think was very troubling for me at the time. But the final verdict was the rumors about me were giving the team a bad image, is what he said to me as a 16-year-old girl.
What?
With my mother in the room, which was like so damaging. You have no idea.
At 16?
Man. Yeah. It was
were you
brutal.
Like beating the shit out of people? Like, I mean, that's like the only thing I can think of. Like, if you're like beating up like 12-year-old racers, like, and you're like, I'm so much faster. Like, that's like the old. Yeah, that's so dumb.
Honestly, don't recall doing any one particular thing that I was like, wow, this was a really naughty thing to do. I mean, I was definitely like going to Park City high school parties and whatever that
right.
means, but nothing like so in particular. And a lot of what I was doing was with, you know, older boys on the US ski team or the US ski team academy team. So I remember thinking at the time, like, oh, this is such a double standard. Like, they don't care that he's doing it. But since I'm a girl and
yeah.
I'm the only girl on the team that is like having this kind of fun,
yeah,
they're putting me in my place for it. But, you know, for better or for worse, that's how it went. And I think in hindsight, that was the best thing that could have happened to me, because I don't think I would have given up on ski racing any other way. But that forced me to move back home to Washington with my parents, which is where I grew up, which is where I am now, actually. I'm in a wood shop in a garage in Twist, Washington, which you should certainly look up on a map sometime. This place is really out there. It's, I think the population of Twist itself is like 900 people.
It's called Twist?
It is Twist. It's like Twist, but with a P at the
end.
Yeah, great backcountry skiing. I shouldn't say that, actually. I've been told not to say that.
Horrible.
Don't
backcountry
skiing. Don't come here to go skiing. It sucks.
You don't even like backcountry skiing. I don't know why anybody would be taking advice on backcountry skiing from you, you know?
That's a great point. I'm the last person you want to hear backcountry ski advice from. But moving back from Park City, I came back to Twisp and tried to live with my parents, who are wonderful people. And it's a very special place here, but it was not somewhere that I could like handle to grow up necessarily. There's just not enough people and things going on for me. And I tried to go back to the standard high school here for like a day and went to a class. I was like, how am I expected to fit in this chair for an hour and a half? And I think I just like got up and walked out and just like went for a walk and never came back.
Yeah.
Which is not something you're really allowed to do in a public high school these days. So then my parents sent me over to community college in Bellingham, which is a thing you can do in Washington. You can like take community college courses to substitute high school and graduate high school like that. So I lived in Bellingham for a couple of years, which makes you think like, oh, sick. You got to ski Baker and ski so much sweet snow up there. But the winter I lived there was like the one winter that Washington just got no snow.
Right.
I think Baker opened for like a day when I was living there. But that is where I picked up mountain biking a little bit more. The trails there are sweet. And I could ride all winter since there was no snow. And then I ended up going to college at CU Boulder, University of Colorado in Boulder, which was just like the standard choice for any ex-ski racer. I had so many friends that went there, and my brother was in Colorado, so it all kind of lined up. And I moved down to Boulder after a year and a half or so of living in Bellingham. And then when I got to Colorado, it also didn't snow for a solid 2 years when I was there. So I kind of went like 3 years without really skiing at all, which was weird. And I got really into cross country and road bike racing. So I was just like going out on these 100-mile road rides a couple times a week out of my freshman dorm room and training super hard and like trying to get sponsorships for cross country bike racing and wearing so much spandex and just like I was eating gels and like counting my macros and really trying to be this endurance athlete for some reason until I broke so many bones bike racing. I finally gave it up just to save myself the hospital bills.
That
which,
you
led to the downfall of all of my athletic endeavors. Here I am now.
I wouldn't call it the downfall of your athletic endeavors, because I do want to say, like, I don't think, and I've said this a million times, I don't think that ski racers are particularly interesting. So I think when you said for better or for worse, I do think it's probably for better that you've had, like, that ski racing experience, but you're, like, out on it now, if that makes sense. Because it's there's so much in ski racing that's going on, like the competitive aspect of it is so important, and I just don't know how engaged a lot of the fan base is. Like, I don't know how much people really care. I don't, totally. And maybe that's a little harsh, but like, I just don't know how much people give a shit about it right at this very moment. Obviously, people give a shit about like Michaela, and that's it.
Yeah, and Michaela, if you ever listen to this, please don't ever unfollow me on Instagram. I think that you following me on Instagram is like the coolest thing to most people who are just coming across me and look me up, and they're like, oh, she's followed by Michaela Schifrin, she must be sick.
And I love her too. Like, I don't want her to listen to this and be like, oh, Adam hates her. Like, she's actually my favorite. Like, I think that, like, if the she's the best representative we could ask for skiing in like the public eye. But it's just not, I don't know. It's just different. It's just different than what people like, right?
Yeah, I think it taught me a lot of really important skills that I've carried on through various endeavors throughout my life, but I would have missed out on so much if I kept on the World Cup ski racing trajectory. Not that there isn't value in that too, but
there definitely is. And I don't really want to sound like I'm just shitting on it, because I'm not. Like, I do think there's a lot of value there. It's just, I don't know if it's being utilized the way it could be.
Yeah, totally.
So, what's your plan now? Like, you quit your job, your plans to just ski and ride bikes a bunch?
Yeah, I don't really know how feasible that is, actually. So more on Twisp, the Wi-Fi out here is just absolutely horrendous. Like, I've been at my parents' house for the last few days for the holidays, which is awesome because we can ski literally right out the back door. But it's not awesome because I cannot log into my bank account on the Wi-Fi that they have at their house. So I have to, like, come to town, go to someone else's house to log into my bank. And I did that today. I was like, oh, my God, I cannot be unemployed forever. I can't even talk about how poor at financial planning I am. But it's made me realize that it's been really fun to not have a job for the last 2 weeks and to ski every day, but maybe that's not realistic for me in the long run, which is funny because what I had first thought about wanting to do a podcast a few months or so ago, it was when I was working on this film project for Ripton Co. With a couple of my roommates who are awesome mountain bike riders. They're honestly way sicker riders than me, and they're just like great people, and we have a really cool chemistry going on where we're like riding together, having a great time, improving our skills on our bikes, and like being pretty creative in our riding style. So we tried to really capture that with this film project that we did with Elliot of Ripton, and with some support from Juliana and some other ad hoc filmers along the way. But we had to come to this point where we needed to raise a little more funding for one of our filmers. So we had to think about like our pitch deck and our branding and our messaging as a group. And the characteristic that we all really settled on was like, we are fun and interesting because we're relatable, because we're not like professional full-time bike riders. We are people with full-time jobs and career is directly related to our college degrees, and like we ride our bikes on the weekends and the evenings, and we can still, you know, have a ton of fun doing it together and like get better and have this kind of vibe, but it's not our full-time thing. Our full-time thing is our full-time jobs. And it's like, it was cool for us to all be balancing that together, and that's what I thought was like my value add in the space, you know, is to be able to talk about like, hey, kids, there are so many different trajectories in the ski and bike worlds, and you can have a really great time on your bike and also have a career and, like, do something meaningful in the world outside of the sport. But, you know, now I have quit that career temporarily. But that, for a long time, was, like, the cool thing that I was doing was I lived this kind of double life where 9 to 5 on the weekdays, I would put on my button-up shirt and blazer and, you know, for the last 6 months or whatever, it's all been remote on Zoom, but I would have to take on this really professional persona. And then, you know, as soon as the workday ended, I'd hop on my bike, put on my jorts and go drink a beer on the trails with my buddies and, like, camp in the woods and ride all weekend. And I thought those two, like, characters that I was playing a little bit were really cool together. And, like, I couldn't appreciate riding as much as I did without having to work for it on the weekdays, you know? But
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's like the winter and the short days really changed that. I was like, wait, I can't ride after 5 o'clock because it's totally dark and all the trails are closed for snow and fires around Boulder. And I can't sit on I-70 traffic for 4 hours every day, every weekend. There's no way I can, like, ski and work full time in Boulder like this. But I think there is a way to do it.
Do you worry about, like, losing the excitement to go skiing and riding, like, if you don't have a job? Because I get that feeling. It's like the run around is like everybody's kind of annoyed by it, but it's like part of what makes doing the skiing or the riding bike special, I think, is the fact that you don't get to do it every second of every day. Like, you don't become jaded so much.
Yeah, totally. And I think I thought that I wouldn't be able to love skiing as much as I do without working and doing something else full time. But I mean, I really only have 2 weeks of experience to base this off, but I skied every day for the last 2 weeks and I am not sick of skiing yet. Unfortunately, I hoped I would be by this time, but I don't know. I think I was so, like, strung out. I mean, I loved being that busy all the time, like the high energy of stress.
Yeah.
But I think I really tend to get very emotionally involved in work or projects or whatever, like, big things I'm taking on. And I was thinking about work all the time when I was riding, and I was, like, wanting to talk about my job on the chairlift and stuff. I was like, no one cares about this. No one wants to hear about this. I need to be able to put that away, which I think is something that I could do in the future, certainly now that I've kind of learned from that first career step. But it's a tough balance. I mean, it's doable. I think it's a lot easier with biking in the longer summer days than it is with skiing in the winter.
Yeah, and I feel like biking has a different vibe to it, too, where it's just broader. Skiing is a little more specialized, like, at least in terms of the way people view, like, what you do, right? And, like, how excited people are to, like, watch a video you put out or, like, watch, like, I don't know, whatever. Like, I feel like the excitement in making something with bikes is different than it is with ski. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I think, like, my ski and bike worlds are pretty intertwined at this point. And it's funny because when I was doing some bike media this summer and fall, I would always think of myself like, oh, I don't really ride bikes. Like, I'm a skier and skiing is what I do best. And this is just, like, something that I happened to stumble upon. And now we're, like, having this photo shoot on a bike, but I don't really ride bikes. Now that I'm skiing more, I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do ski media, like, all of my experience.
Yeah, yeah.
With creating content, riding bikes, I'm like, I'm just using this as an excuse to be, like, better or worse at one or the other.
Oh, I 100% do the same thing. Somebody called me out on that for, like, 3 weeks ago because I think I had said, like, I'm a better mountain biker than I am a skier, and then I said the opposite, like, a year later or something like that, so... it's just like you just I also think that, like, I forget how shitty I am at both of them, so there's that also.
Yeah, and I think, like, doing doing both has kind of helped me in whatever sort of like media traction that I've gained in the last year or so. Is, you know, there are a lot of girls who create really cool content from skiing, really cool content from biking, but there's not necessarily a ton of us who are doing both at a pretty high caliber. So that's attractive to sponsors, I think.
Yeah. What has it been like finding sponsors for yourself, like reaching out to brands? Like, have you had to do a lot of that? Has that gone well? Like, how do you pitch yourself, I guess, to a company?
Yeah, honestly, I haven't done a ton of it. And when I have succeeded in it, it's been for companies like Flylo, who are doing, you know, primarily ski outerwear and then also entering the bike market. And so I've been attractive to them because I can create media doing both. But honestly, like, you know, J-Skis is my biggest supporter that I have now. And the outreach I had with them was literally videos, send an Instagram DM. I was like on a business trip in Oaxaca in Mexico, like, you know, pretty inebriated off of Oaxacan mezcal. I came back to my hotel room on these business trips. You know, I have like huge hotel rooms to myself. And for whatever reason, I opened Instagram, saw a story from them, sent them some video of like, oh, I wish you were in Mexico. Look at this huge hotel room. But they were at Free Skier Fest in Aspen at the time. Whoever they was, I had no idea who was behind this account, obviously. And I think it was something like, we're at a hotel room in Aspen. There's a couch for you with a mink fur coat on it. Come up tomorrow or whatever. So I flew back from Oaxaca to Denver and drove straight up to Aspen to go meet whoever was behind the Instagram account. Oh, yeah. That's how it all went down. Thank God it was Taylor.
Yeah, it could have been somebody way weirder.
I know.
Well, actually, yeah. What if it was, yeah.
But I did, like, I woke up in a hotel room with Taylor and Jason the next morning. I was like, oh my God, where am I? What's happening? That hotel room, I will say, I don't know if I should say this, but I am sorry. I ate all of the snacks that were in that hotel room the next morning after they left. I'm sure it was like a, if you open this, you pay $50 extra, whatever, worth it. I also went to the breakfast buffet. Wow, I'm just like on a confession rant. I went to the breakfast buffet thing under their hotel room name because they had like flown out. Maybe this was the second night in or something. And I was like, yeah, I'm Taylor. And I got full-fledged Aspen, the W breakfast treatment, like mimosa and everything. It was fantastic. It was worth every penny, whatever you had to pay.
Whatever they had to pay, it was absolutely worth it.
This is directly at Taylor because I know he will listen to this.
Yes, he definitely will, and it will. He had 47 questions for you, by the way. So I mean, there's a lot. So yeah, it's an interesting thing they've got going on at Jay. Like I like those guys a lot. Like I like that whole crew, and I like the program that they're on. They've been doing an excellent job, I think.
Yeah, they've been so fun to work with, and I'm just stoked that I got to get in with that crew when I did.
Yeah. What? I always like ask this question and I never really know what kind of answer I'm expecting, but what do you have in mind for your career going forward? What do you want to do?
I knew you would ask me this question. So I really tried to think about it on that walk that I took today where I realized I hate walking in the snow. And I don't have an answer, honestly, and I think that's, like, okay at this point, and I think that that is something that, you know, a lot of people who would listen to this would kind of relate to a little bit more because there are so many trajectories you can take with endeavors in pro skiing or whatever you want to call it, like, you know, creating content in the ski world or the bike world. And I listen to a lot of stories from like people that I look up to and think a lot of components of those are, you know, paths that I could sort of follow or like use as an example. And some of them relate to me, but some of them don't. And it seems like all we can really do in this space is let things come to us or go get things and, you know, it's all going to be very individualized. And I feel like a lot of what I hear is you end up meeting the right person or like doing the right performance in front of the right person that you weren't expecting to see there. And it just kind of falls into place based on one of those events. And you can't plan for that. So I'm not trying to plan for that. And I'm not necessarily like sitting here wishing that that would come to me. But I don't know. I mean, I guess at this point, I haven't created a bunch of like really high quality ski content that I'm proud of that I think really showcases like what I'm good at in skiing and what I'm stoked on with skiing. So I'd like to do that and get that out there and see what comes to me based on that. And that is what I did with this film project with my roommates in Silverton, which is still in production. I'm really excited to share that when it does come out. But I don't know, it's like, it's kind of a chicken and egg scenario where like, it's hard to create this really high quality content to showcase your skills before you have support, but it's hard to get support before you can deliver that kind of content to show your value, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard position to be in, but I think that's also part of the relatability aspect of it, because so many people have that same issue where but a lot of people just quit, right? Like a lot of people are just like, oh, I can't get the funding for this, whatever I want to do. I can't find this thing, and now people don't want it, so I'm gonna go back to doing whatever. Like I think the patience of like waiting and seeing what happens is a really admirable thing for a lot of people, and it's good to hear. It's also good to hear that like you acknowledge the fact that everybody does seem to just say like, this person just came into my life and then this happened and then this happened and then this happened. It's I've heard that story 75 times, right? Where like somebody was like, oh, I met this person at a bar in Aspen and now we're best friends and he happened to own Tesla and now me and Elon Musk go skiing every day. Like, obviously not that story, but a lot of times like that story has happened a bunch.
Yeah, totally. Or it's like you found this one event that you just happened to like be in the right place at the right time to get invited to, and then happened to crush it in that event and it opened up all these other doors for you. But it's, I don't know, I think like the internet and social media landscape is changing so much all the time, and it's changing the way that sponsors think and act, where maybe it doesn't have to be so event or, you know, in-person based anymore. And it can be like, you come up with some killer content edit thing that you created for free, or just like, you know, capture like the sickest trick you've ever done on skis and post it on Instagram, and that gets noticed and that like opens up some other doors for you. But I think that's kind of cool that there's so many different avenues you can take. And like, I don't know, I feel like I hear a lot of professional athletes talk about how they kind of hate that Instagram and social media is becoming more and more of a presence in, you know, skiing and biking and sponsor relations these days. But I think for people like me, that's really cool because we can start from kind of nothing and like be strategic and get noticed in the right ways, creating the type of content that we want to create, which maybe, you know, capitalizes primarily on skiing or biking skills, but we can also like leverage the personality component and like the fun B-roll component to our advantage, where I feel like a lot of really established professional skiers are like, I didn't sign up to create B-roll content of me getting covered in hot dog sauce. Like, that's not what I want to be creating.
Right. What do you want to be creating?
Me personally, like I really want to get in front of cameras that will capture my skiing style, because I think I just have so much fun on my skis and like in so many different types of settings where it's, you know, I like dropping big cliffs that scare me, but I also like throwing big floaty threes off of, you know, smaller size drops and taking creative lines and maybe just like running through a bunch of small trees and bushes and I don't know, like
just having fun.
A mix of, yeah, just fun, like fun and flirty skiing, you know? And it's tough because so much of the really cool content that I see from my peers and people I look up to, like they ski with really good photographers or they just have friends who are great photographers and like want to just create content with them for free. Whereas if you're not, you know, skiing with photographers all the time, it's really hard to ask your friends to like, hey, can you stop in the middle of your run and pull your iPhone out in 10 degree weather and get this clip because I know I'm going to see a really cool line here. Like, I don't ever want to have to do that. And I don't, which is a big barrier to me creating, you know, all
that's very real though.
Content
like,
I want to capture. But yeah, it's like, I see so many girls that I knew from ski racing or like people who are kind of in the same realm as me and they're getting the sickest shots and like the coolest videos because they just go ski with these photographers who are like, maybe they're their friends or maybe like, you know, they have a professional relationship with them, whatever. And it's awesome. But I personally don't, I just don't have that all the time, especially like where I'm at in Washington right now, where I'm just out here skiing with like my parents and their friends and my brother and his friends. And it's just not, no one who cares about pulling their phones out or pulling their camera out and capturing the moment, which like for a lot of people, they're like, no phone skiing. This is, you know, how we keep it pure and how we make skiing about skiing, which I'm totally down with. But I also like, I wouldn't call myself a creative by any means, but I really appreciate like capturing the moment in a way that is useful to you and others to look at and be like, cool, this is something that we created that we think really captures the essence of this moment and we're proud of. And I think that there's just like so many different approaches to capturing video and photo while skiing. And it takes the right kind of person with the right equipment and the right mentality to it to really, you know, come up with a cohesive working relationship in that way.
Oh, for sure. And I do think that you're creative in that sense because most people don't just think like that. They don't look like, how can I capture this in the best possible light? Like, how can I make this moment be a thing? That's not even a thought in a lot of people's heads. And I think that part of it shows the creative side of you. And also the videos that you put out, like, just on your story from riding bikes are so fun and they have such good energy, and the skiing ones too. But like that stuff is what attracts people, I think, to your skiing style, to you as a person and you as a brand. Like, honestly, I think that's the most important thing is the relatability aspect is a big part of it, but it's also just, it's very pure. Like it's very real.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
It's very real because it's coming straight from an iPhone 10 camera. Just like your content, probably. Yeah. No, and I don't mean to say, like, I have worked with some awesome photographers and I have some good relationships with photographers back in Colorado, but, you know, I'm not in Colorado right now. And honestly, I don't know. I feel like everywhere I've been in the last couple years, I've just missed good snow all the time. Like, I can count on one hand the number of powder days I've had in the last few years.
I literally don't want to hear you complain about this at all. I skied bulletproof, rocks, ice, bullshit tonight. Like, don't start with me.
Yeah.
Don't start with me. Okay. I That's saw you totally skiing true. And there was snow. I haven't, it rained 2 inches last week on Christmas. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, all right, you're right. But it's funny because, like, the videos that I've posted the last couple days of me just, like, complaining about walking uphill, which are valid complaints. Anyone who does that and hates it know how much it sucks. But people are like, cool, walking uphill pictures, now where's the power skiing shots? And I'm like, haha, I didn't have my personal photographer with me today to capture that. And it was 5 degrees, so I was not about to, like, pull my phone out and take a selfie while skiing.
I do wonder how people come across just photographers that are wanting to hang out with them all the time. I do wonder how that relationship works. I do feel like there should be a guidebook on that part of it. Like it is a little confusing for me as well. I wonder a lot of the same. And some people obviously are just very sick, but some people are, there's just photographers there all the time, and you're just like, where did they come from?
Right?
Where, how did they get there?
I will say, like, since I've, you know, gained a little bit, for whatever it's worth, traction on Instagram the last few months, I have had a lot of photographers reach out to me wanting to set up a shoot who look like great people, and I'm like totally down to shoot with them, but working a full-time job 5 days a week where they're like, this is their profession and they want to shoot on the weekdays made it really challenging to ever be able to link up during good light and the right day, the right time. But you
but
know,
now you quit. You're good.
Now that I don't have the job thing as an excuse anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe these things will start falling into place more.
Very so. Yeah. I think you're going to be free. You're going to be free. Now you don't have a job. You might get bored in like a week, but it is what it is. All right. So you got like a lot of questions.
Like, oh, good. I've been wanting to ask you the questions.
Like, well, so, all right. 7 or so of them were Be My Girlfriend.
Right.
Or
yeah.
Some variation of that, which is like when I DM'd you and I was like, of course, this is what happened. Like, because every dude is like, well, just it's bizarre that dudes are like, this is the way I'm going to shoot my shot. Like, I'm going to get in there and this is my thing. So.
Oh, I love it. I think like Instagram is so cool for building community around whatever it may be, which is like for me, it's a lot of skiing and biking, but also for getting girlfriends. Like, find your girlfriend on Instagram. Totally.
So you're down like, with that.
You're submitting a resume with your DM.
Yeah, but you're
know?
Not in can, a like, DM to it's, and just... it's not like I'm reading you like, hey, this guy's 6'1". He's 180 pounds. Like, he seems like he's a good skier.
No, I get some of those too.
I'm
I get
sure.
Heights in there.
Do you really? Like, people are sending you heights?
Oh, yeah. They're like sending me their Tinder bios, and some of them are so cute. I'm like, oh, thank you. This was really thoughtful.
That.
Thank you, next.
Yeah, see you later. Yeah, that's. I always wondered what that aspect of it must be like for a girl that's good at skiing and rides bikes. Like, you must get an annoying amount of dudes that also like ride bikes and go skiing that are like, oh, we're the same person, we look at the connection here. Like,
it's very validating, and I think for them it's like, I found my dream girl. She's could keep
100%
and like is a real girl in real life and whatever. And for me, I'm like, cool, there are like literally millions of guys out there who ski and ride bikes.
Yeah, I think it's feast or famine, I guess, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. All right, real questions. All right, Austin HK44 wants to know your opinion on farm animals.
Oh, man, it's crazy. Like, if you line up a cow with the horizon at night, you could move to any height and like the cow could be the horizon, you know?
No. I don't. I have no idea what that means. I have no clue what that means.
I think some people will be able to relate to that answer. I hope.
You think people are going to be able to the cow is
sometime.
On the horizon, and if you move what?
Like, it's relativity, you know? It's the law of relativity and the horizon, right? Farm animals and stuff.
Okay.
I was a science major in college, sort
Were
of.
Were you actually? Sort of?
No, I mean, anyone who went to CU Boulder and knows the environmental studies program can attest to that.
All right, cows and horizon lines. E. Michaela wants to know, have you always felt confident skiing powder, racing to powder? How do you make the transition?
Raised in the powder?
No, racing to powder.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's an interesting question because I was really, I mean, in retrospect, not at the time, I'm disappointed at how little I skied outside of groomed racetracks when I was growing up. I never had a pair of like free ride skis. I was always on my race skis and I was always training or just ripping groomers. So I really didn't have a lot of like big mountain experience before college. And I think honestly it was a pretty easy transition because the fundamentals you learn ski racing totally transfer to anything outside of the race course. It's like just learning to stand on your 2 feet and like being strong enough to absorb impact. But powder skiing is so much easier than ski racing. I think the transition is pretty naturally easy.
Is it? Like, question gets asked a lot, I feel like.
Really? I think finding style and, like, finding your flow skiing powder or, like, skiing big mountain is maybe a little trickier. For me, it takes – I need, like, a few good rap songs to really get me into it. Like, when I start skiing for a day, sometimes it takes me, like, 4 hours to feel like I'm finally, like, finding my swag is what I say when I'm, like, sweet. I've gotten 2/3 of the way of my – I am skiing today rap playlist, and now I'm finally like, yeah, I can make some moves.
We're 2/3 swagged out. All right, what else do we have here? What the fuck are you saying? Somebody wants to know. I don't even know what that means.
Just like in general?
And yeah, just like, yeah, I don't know.
I'm saying to stop trying hard at anything you do in particular.
That seems to be the message of this podcast, by the way, is just wait and see what happens. Like, just hang out for a minute.
I don't really mean that to be my true message, actually. I think, like, making this Silverton movie that it's funny to talk about because it hasn't actually come out yet was really hard work and, like, kind of horrible at times, but also so fun. Like, pre-production and filming and post-production stuff is really hard, but so fun. It's like project management in bike media, ski media, whatever. But it's a try hard thing. You got to send some really sophisticated emails. The way I got music licensing for Skeggs and Broncho was like sending emails of stories of things I did at their concerts, which involved like literally the words tonsil hockey and jello shots, and that's what got me in. You know, you gotta like try hard to come up with a different angle, I guess.
This is the example of the professional email.
Well, you know, it's like unprofessional.
Yeah. No, I know what
you mean. I signed it with cheers.
Yeah.
XOXO.
Hope you're well. Yeah. All right. Let's see what else here. Big Purple Ski Suit wants to know, Freeride World Tour, ?
Oof. I did try competing in some Freeride World Tour qualifier events, FWQs or whatever, just like two of them. And they're pretty fun because the community, it was super fun. Everyone at the top was like, hell yeah, go get them. Whereas in ski racing, it was all like, well, I'm not talking to you. I hope you crash, whatever. So that component was cool, but I think like the single run performance just wasn't my thing. And it was like structuring your whole day around this one run where the snow conditions probably are horrible. And like you came out to Taos when there was so much snow in Jackson or whatever. And like, I don't know, the one run, don't fuck up. There's a lot of stress and pressure. And also, like, don't be too fun and creative because it's judged on these specific criteria. It just wasn't really something that I could get behind. But I am amazed at how much funding there is in Freeride World Qualifier events.
What do you mean?
If you're, like, the podium payouts were huge. It was, like, $1,000 for winning.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I just, like, come from bike racing and ski racing, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point. Because it is, I don't feel like that money is necessarily enough, but if you compare it to bike racing, that is like you're fucking rolling in it compared to bike racing. Like,
yeah.
You can be super fit, train all the time, and you're like barely getting your race paid for with bike racing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, the one qualifier event that I like completed and showed up for, like, I hardly even knew what it was in Taos, and I went and, like, you know, sort of inspected, didn't really get what that was, totally missed my line that I was planning, just like skied the thing and ended up in second, got like $600 for doing what I felt like was absolutely nothing. I was like, this is sick. if I can make money off it, maybe I'll try another. But then I went out to Crystal for the next one and it ended up being canceled for weather. And I was like, well, this was a fucking long travel for even getting a competition run, which I totally understand, but it's just like such a gamble with that series.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. There's definitely some formatting issues, I think, with the qualifier. There's a lot of confusing shit. Like,
yeah,
it's also,
and I think it's totally cool for people who are like, they want to make the Free Ride World Tour and that's what they want to do.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
That's just not what I have wanted to do so far.
Yeah, it requires a lot of commitment, I think. Taylor's got two questions that I think are very important. He wants to know, well, he's got like, I told you, like 12 questions that are very important. But I'm only going to ask two of them. First, he wants to know, how many beers can you drink?
Just like in general?
In general, yeah. That was the whole question. That was the whole first question.
I don't know. I guess I've never like drank to find my limit of how many beers I could drink. Okay, I have an important confession to make. I haven't had a PBR in like maybe over a year.
Really?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It's like,
are you over
suddenly
it?
Becoming an adult and living in Boulder? And
how
like,
old are you?
How old do you think I am?
26.
Old enough to party. Oh, good. Okay. I've still got some time left. I'm 23.
You're 23?
Yeah, so I'm barely old enough to drink. Actually, this was one thing that I feel like was a huge deterrent to my career in skiing. I was asked to do a like Coors banquet with Outside Magazine commercial shoot or something via Instagram DM. All of my business has gone down in the DMs. And we were like setting it up, whatever. And then they asked how old I was. And I was like 23, old enough to party, haha. Like thinking if I was above 21, that was an automatic, you're fine. But the age cutoff for being in a Coors shoot is 25.
Yeah.
So I wasn't old enough to make the cut. It's like, this is the first time that I haven't been old enough for something involving alcohol. I was so excited that I finally like made my in to the drinking age world. But anyways, beers I can drink. I have drank in 3 on this podcast so far. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's all I got.
3? All right. Well, killing me for sure.
I'm super hydrated.
Yeah, I did. To be fair, I did drive an hour and a half and go skiing in the dark with the snowshoers for a while, and then come straight here. So I got less hydration.
You deserve 3 beers.
I got less hydration in me. His other question was: describe your perfect first date.
Aw. Let's see. I don't know. I love mosh pits. I think like I would take someone to like a Story So Far or Fiddler concert and just throw them into the mosh and see how they do, you know? And also see how many drinks they buy me. That's very important.
That's a qualifying thing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It can't be too many, but can't be stingy.
Yeah, too many is like a red flag, but like none is also a red flag.
Yeah, it's a very delicate balance.
All right, last question, and then we'll get you out of here. Spicy Bear on Skis wants to know how moons and Earth and the Sun all rotate around each other. What is wrong with you? Oh my God. What are these questions? Like,
okay. So, first of all, I have a confession to make with all, like, the DMs of wanting to date me and whatever. Sage is my Instagram boyfriend who films all my clips for me. And this is him making fun of me because I legitimately asked last night when we were, like, looking for the full moon. And I was like, I forget, in New Zealand, do you see the same face of the moon that you see in America? or do you see the opposite side of the moon?
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, you know, because, like, here you only ever see one side of the moon. And so we were trying to, like, conceptualize the orbit. And I actually asked, which now I realize is so stupid, does the moon orbit the sun or the earth? Like I said, I was a science major.
Yeah.
But I also, I really don't remember. I spent like 8 months in New Zealand or something a couple years ago. And I always tried to remember if I could see the same constellations and like the side of the moon down there as up here in the northern hemisphere, you know. But man, I must not have paid that much attention to the stars or something. I was too busy paying attention to other things, I guess.
I guess so. All right. Well, we'll end it on a severe level of disappointment for a lot of these people sliding into my DMs for you. So that is what it is. Where can people find you on social media? Where can people find everything you do? I'm guessing it's just on Instagram, but I don't know. Do you have a website? Is it dcuppers.com?
Now, with all of my free time, once I get out of Twist, Washington, where there's literally no internet, I could make a website, but I don't know what I would put on there necessarily. Besides, no, maybe I'll make. Yeah, I could. I'll totally make a website, you guys. I'll like write a story about myself or something. I'll make something up. But on Instagram, I'm dcuppers. On LinkedIn, I'm Delilah Cup. If you think my LinkedIn headshot is cool, know that I took that with like a self timer DSLR camera in my yard and made it black and white because the background is just like literally my dead yard because I never water the grass. My email is DelilahCup@gmail.com. It's like people, I love email.
Like nobody, times, that's so like the first time that anybody has ever given their email out. Like that's all right.
Well, it's good because I don't know. I respond to like texts and DMs, like emails, where you know you can give it a couple days, but email is better because you can write a lot of paragraphs, like just ramble and just sign it with a cheers. It just sounds nicer that way.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, thank you for doing this. This has actually been great. I will send you everything. That was episode number 135 with Delilah Cup. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Be sure to follow her on social media at dcuppers. No, it's dcuppers, not dccuppers. Dcuppers. Follow her on social media. She's a ton of fun to follow. Yeah, that's like my whole bit on following Delilah. So go do that right away. Also be sure to follow Cannon Mountain on social and go skiing at Cannon. They sell all the things. They sell passes. They sell lift tickets. They sell skiing. So go skiing at Cannon. Cool? Cool. I'll talk to you guys on Thursday with an episode that I haven't decided which one is coming out yet. So, well, yeah. Talk to you on Thursday. Bye.